Today's reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 1061 in the church Bibles. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with us in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we're going to have a think about the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. As was just read, thank you, Jack, for reading that reading for us. Jesus rose from the dead that first Easter Sunday morning. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Actually, thinking about it, I think, children, would you like to come down to the front? If you want to come down to the front so you can see a bit better, feel free to do so. You might want to come down so that you can see a bit better, a bit clearer. I should have done that at the beginning. That's it. If you want to come down, that's it. Do you have a seat at the front? And you'll see a bit more clearly. Great, thank you. So, like I was saying, the Bible says that at the centre of our faith, at the very centre, is the fact that Jesus rose to life again. Like I said, I'll read that verse in 1 Corinthians again. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith.
What
is it?
You expect us to believe?
Hang on a minute. I wouldn't normally give hecklers a microphone, but since it's you, Matt, what's the problem?
Come on, really, seriously, do you really expect us to believe that somebody rose from the dead?
Yeah.
But come on, this is a world of science. People don't rise from the dead. And anyway, it was 2,000 years ago and you weren't even there. How can you know?
Well, the thing is, you see, we've got good evidence that Jesus did actually physically rise. It may have been 2,000 years ago, and you're right, I wasn't actually there to see it. But we've got really good evidence to say that Jesus really did rise from the dead. For a start, like, there was no body there was no body there.
Okay, all right, well, that's easy. There's what? No body because, let me think. Well, all right, so his disciples, in the night, came and stole it. They sneaked up, stole the body, buried it somewhere else.
What do
you say to that? Somebody stole a body.
Okay, well, we can have a think about that. Yeah, okay, let's have a think about that. Okay. You go and sit down. We'll have a think about that. And we'll see if we can convince you. All right? So you go and have a seat, and we'll see about that. Okay, so some suggest that maybe the body of Jesus was stolen. Okay, we'll have a think about that. Now, in order to do that, we need to reenact the scene. All right, so we need someone to be Jesus. Ben, would you be happy? Now, I could do with... Ben, you come up. Now, I could do with a couple of grown-ups who are willing to come and wrap Ben up. Would that be all right? A couple of grown-ups? Go on, a couple of volunteers. This is where I didn't prepare anyone. Thank you, Debbie. Someone else? One other? Thank you, Simon. Okay, so... Ben, I need you over here. Okay, so this is going to be the tomb, all right? So, Ben, if you're here, Simon, one loo roll. Debbie, another loo roll. You've done this kind of thing before. Probably you do it as, you know, for fun at home, maybe, I don't know. But if you could wrap him up really well, that would be really good. Thank you very much. You can wrap both legs together if you like, although we are going to have to lay him down at some point. Anyone else want to come and help them? You can. Yeah, Stanley, you come and give them a hand. Sam, you come and give them a hand. So that'll do. Just to help out, because we need him well wrapped up. And loo roll is actually slightly tricky to wrap up because it tends to break at the perforations, which is why maybe they're going to have problems. But keep going, that's it. Sam was very keen to do that to you, yeah. Oh, Debbie working her way up, that's very good. Now, in the meantime, if you've got a Bible on you, would you turn to Matthew chapter 27? Guys, there's a Bible behind you there, Ollie, if you want it. And you can share with others. So Matthew chapter 27. So Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to start at verse... Thank you, Colin. Verse 62. Oh, this is looking good. This is looking good. Okay, so verse 62. Have a look, because this problem is directly addressed in the Bible. So look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 onwards, and I'll just read a little bit of that. It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, by whom they mean Jesus, said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This first deception would be worse than this last deception would be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. How are we doing? He's doing well. You're doing well. Yeah, you can go around there, make sure he can breathe, but you can go around his. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now the thing is, we need to lay him down now. But I think we can do that. Okay, Ben and Stanley. Yeah, yes. Okay, I think we're good on that. That's it. That'll do, Stanley. Okay, Sam. Okay, now don't worry about it. Okay, now we need to lie him down. So, lean back on Simon. That's it. Just lean back. That's it. Okay, now lay down. That's it. Like that. Okay. Now, you guys can leave him alone. Ben, you're going to have to wait there for a little bit, all right? Okay, that's cool. Okay, so you guys can go. Thank you very much, Lou Roll. There we go. I doubt that he was wrapped in stuff that had flower imprints on it, but there you go. Okay, so, okay, Ben, don't wave, you're dead. So, now, they posted a guard. That's what it says. They posted a guard to make sure that no one would steal the body. Stop moving, Ben. Okay, so we need a guard. I need two people to be guards. Two people who haven't been up yet. Nia, would you be one? So, Nia, you come up, and we'll get who else wants to be. Okay, Ollie, you come up and be one. Okay, so they posted a guard. Okay, so we've got guard things. All right, so long spear, short spear? You both want the long one, sorry. You've got to go one way or the other. And I've got one hat. You happy to wear the hat? No. Happy to wear the hat? No? Okay, right. Well, we'll put the hat here as if you're sort of... Okay, Tobes, you come up then. Come up. Okay, you can be part of the guard. Okay, there you go. Tobes, wait, don't go in. Right, now, you also need... No, don't jab anyone. Right, you need to put a stone. Now, we're going to have to do this through the power of mine. All right, because I haven't got a massive stone. So you guys are going to have... pop your spears down for a moment. Go over towards where Ollie is. Please, Nia. And Toby, and the three of you have got to pretend with me to push a massive great stone in front of the entrance. The entrance to the tomb is just there. Okay, are you ready? So we're going to push, and you've got to make it look believable that we are in fact pushing a very heavy stone. They wouldn't have done this through mime originally. They would have done it with a real stone. So, okay, we're ready? Here we go. Go. Made it. Okay, Toby, you've fallen through the stone. Never mind. And they sealed the stone. I don't really understand how they sealed it, but they did seal it. Ollie, stop doing that. And they did a guard one either side. So let's go for one either side. Toby in the middle. So they've got a guard there. Okay, just stand still. No, you can't. We'll have that up then.
Oh, yay.
Okay, leave that there. So stand with your spears ready at your side. And so that's saying, what the text is actually saying is they were ready for this eventuality. They posted a guard, they sealed the stone so that nobody could come and steal the body. Who was likely to steal the body? It was going to be the disciples. No one else was going to do it. The Romans wouldn't want to steal it. The Jews wouldn't want to steal it. It was going to be Jesus' followers. So they had a guard there ready. So any followers would have to get past them. And they didn't. And you've also got the fact that after a while, Jesus was actually seen, risen from the dead. So if they'd stolen the body, you wouldn't have resurrection appearances. So, okay, first thing we've got there. Stolen body? No, not stolen. In fact, they went out of their way to make sure that the body was not stolen. They posted a guard, they put a stone there, they sealed it. Matt, there you go. So, not stolen.
Okay, all right.
Do you have your mic? Okay, stand at guard. Attention. Thank you.
All right, well, that's okay.
Are you on? Good.
I am now.
Excellent.
All right, no, okay, fair enough. It wasn't stolen, that makes a lot of sense. But yes. I've got one that you can't answer.
Yes.
So it's not stolen.
No.
It's just a mistake. Basically,
it's a mistake.
They're sad. You know, Saturday night, Sunday morning, people aren't at their best Sunday morning.
Yes.
They got up.
Is that a confession?
It very much is, yes. Yeah. One tomb looks very much like another. So in the morning, they came along, all bleary-eyed. They just went to the wrong tomb.
The women went to the wrong tomb?
They went to the wrong tomb and it was empty.
Okay, well, we can deal with that one as well. Okay, thank you. Do have a seat. We'll see if we can deal with that one. So now we need the women. The women were the first people to go to the tomb. So, yes, would you two, Neve and Ella, would you like to be the women? So the suggestion is, okay, you two together, that you are very sad. Turn around, show people that you're sad. Are you sad? Can you do sad face? Oh, it looks like a happy face. But anyway, I'll take it, it's a sad face. So they're really sad and they're going to the tomb. And the suggestion is that you go to the wrong tomb. So in your grief, crying, come this way. In your grief, you make a mistake, come this way. And you go and you visit the wrong tomb. And you come to the tomb next door, maybe, and you look and you go, oh, there's no body. Okay, now just stay here for a moment, turn around, because you're still grieving. Now, in a way, that's really easy to deal with, isn't it? Because if they'd gone to the wrong tomb, the Roman soldiers could have just gone, look, this is the right tomb, here's the body. So it wouldn't have been difficult to have dealt with that. If they'd gone to the wrong tomb, that would have been dealt with very, very easily. They'd have just said, look, here's the body. So it clearly wasn't. But also, if you look back, go to Luke again. Sorry, make you flicking around. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Okay. Just keep it still. That's it. Stay still. You're on guard, remember. Luke chapter 24. Now, just before the reading we had, have a look. A couple of verses earlier. It says, verse 55 of chapter 23, if you can see it, it says, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. So linking those two things together, it's saying the women, they saw where he was laid. It says that in verse 55. Then beginning of the next chapter, it says they went to the tomb. So in other words, Luke is telling you here, they knew where the tomb was. They saw it. They saw where Jesus was laid. They knew where to go. And they went back to the same tomb. So it would have been dealt with easily if they'd gone to the wrong tomb. But actually, Luke is trying to tell you there, they knew where it was. Okay, we're going to pause there for the moment. My guards, I think you need to go and sit down. So could you put your things down? Tobes, let me have it. Okay, put your spears down. Women, would you like to go back as well? Now, Jesus, we're going to need you for the next bit of the talk. So are you happy to stay there?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a song, we've got prayers, and then you're going to be needed again. So you're just going to have to stay there. Is that all right, Ben?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Melissa.
Hara's going to come and lead us in our prayers.
Great, thank you, Cara. So, Matt. Body was not stolen. The women didn't go to the wrong tomb. There we go. Jesus rose from the dead.
Well,
I admit, that's not bad. Yeah. That's okay.
Thank you very much.
That's okay, but yeah? I'm still not convinced. So, well, okay.
What else could there be?
Well, okay. So, the body wasn't stolen, but what if he didn't die?
What?
What if he didn't die? Well, let's face it. So, he goes on the cross.
Yeah.
He bleeds. He's injured. He passes out. They take him down. They put him in the tomb. It's nice and cozy. He wakes up, unravels himself, and climbs out.
Okay. Okay. Well, no, not dead. Okay. We'll have a think about that. We'll have a think about that one. Okay. Ben, how are you doing? You're all right? You're all right? No, you're dead. What's that? Your shoes have fallen off. Don't worry about that. That's fine. We don't mind that. That's fine. We also need... do we need the guard? Yes, let's have the guard back. But stand nice and still to attention in front of the tomb. That's it. So you get ready there. So it is a theory that some people have put forward and other religions put forward that maybe Jesus didn't really die, that he swooned or he fainted and therefore didn't really die. And yet... the evidence on this one really does point to the fact that Jesus really was dead. The whipping that he had before he was crucified was so horrific, so horrible, that that experts say that it could have been fatal injuries just through the whipping that he had. And then he was nailed to a cross for 6 hours, which is a horrific torture and a horrible way to die. And then he had a spear shoved into his side. Now, all of this means he was dead by the time they took him down. There's a journal called the Journal of the American Medical Association. Sounds very fancy. They did an article in their journal, about Jesus dying. And they say this: clearly, the weight of historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead before the wound to his side was inflicted, and supports the traditional view that the spear thrust between his right ribs probably perforated not only the right lung, but also the pericardium and heart, and thereby ensured his death. Accordingly, interpretations based on the assumption that Jesus did not die on the cross appear to be at odds with modern medical knowledge. So they're saying their conclusion is he was dead. When the spear went into his side, it says that what looked like water and blood came out, which again is evidence that he really was dead. So lots of evidence there saying that he really, really, really was dead. So he was dead before he was laid in the tomb. But even if, and he wasn't, but even if he was alive and he'd just fainted, this is what he's got to do. So, Ben. Okay, let's say you've fainted. He's still got horrific injuries, needs desperate medical attention. Careful, Tobes. Stand back. Ben, you've got to release yourself from the grave clothes. So you've got to come out from there. So you can stand up now, but you've got to break your way out of the loo roll. That's it. Break your way out. Yeah. Break out. Yeah. Rip it off. Yeah. Up you get. Ben is alive. That wasn't actually in doubt. Right, you've got to get all those off you. And, by the way, just as a little detail, you've got to fold up the thing that was over your face and leave it neatly. Because that's what it says was there. So could you find the bit that was around your face? Maybe the bit on the right? Yeah, that bit over on the right there. That bit there. So just fold that bit up neatly. Now, why he would do that if he was, if he'd fainted and... But anyway, that's how it was found. So it was found neatly folded. Now you've got to move the very large stone. Guys, move out the way. Tobes, move back. You've got to move the very large stone, which it took the soldiers to push across, which the women, when they came to the tomb on the third day, they didn't know how they were going to move it. It was so big that they didn't know how they were going to do it. But you on your own, having already been tortured and, crucified for 6 hours or whatever, you've got to move that stone out of the way on your own. So you've got to mime that, I'm afraid. So push the stone out the way. Nice. Okay, well done. And then you've got to overpower the guard. Okay, so let's say you're easily overpowered, although you wouldn't have been. That's it, easily overpowered. And then you get away. And then he appears, just stay here, and then he appears perfectly fine that same day. It's just not going to happen, is it? I mean, he wouldn't do that. He'd need medical attention, and even then, he would have died. So, thank you, Ben. You go and sit down. You guys, you go and sit down as well. Please. No, I'll have that. Thank you. So the evidence is, there's no way really he could have still been alive. The medical evidence is that before he was even put in the tomb, he was dead. And even if he wasn't, how would he get out? It just wouldn't happen. So, Matt, there's no way that he would have not been dead. He was dead. We know he was dead.
Well, okay, I take your point, but...
So we're done?
No, I'm not convinced.
Okay, come on then.
So they're upset, the disciples are upset, they're sad. So maybe they had a prawn curry the night before. Yeah. Maybe they hallucinated it. Maybe they imagined it.
A dodgy curry the night before.
Maybe they imagined it.
And they imagined the whole
maybe
thing.
Maybe they hallucinated the whole thing.
Right. Okay. Right, okay, well, you pop that down. Okay, we'll have a very brief think about that one. Okay, that's another theory that people have put forward, that maybe all the disciples, they were so grief-stricken that they just started seeing things the next day, and they saw Jesus. They really wanted Jesus to be risen, so they saw him risen, when in fact he didn't. Again, easily dealt with by the fact that Jesus was seen not just once, and not just by one or two people who were kind of, well, maybe it was, maybe it was. It was not like the Loch Ness Monster, where, you know, you see these pictures where you go, is it, isn't it, don't know, not sure. Jesus was seen by lots of people on several different occasions, having risen from the dead. And at one time, we're told in 1 Corinthians, he was seen by over 500 people. Now, over 500 at the same time. Now, over 500 people, they don't all have the same hallucination all at the same time. It just doesn't happen. You don't get mass hallucinations of the same thing. So the evidence there is, no, it wasn't a hallucination. It wasn't a dream or something like that. But people actually saw the risen Jesus. Okay, please have a seat. So I think we've dealt with it. We've dealt with it all. We've dealt with all the objections. You again, is it?
One more go.
Okay, go on then. Last one.
One more go. All right, so the disciples wanted it all to be true.
Yep.
So they lied about it. They told everybody this is what happened, but it didn't.
They made it all up?
They made it all up. They spent 3 years following him, and they didn't want to look silly, so they made it up.
Okay, we'll have a think about that one. You have a seat. Okay, so maybe the disciples just made it up. But why? Why would the disciples make it up? Okay, so maybe they'd followed Jesus, they felt a bit silly, and so, because they'd followed him for 3 years, they wanted it to be true, and then they therefore just made it up. They said, well, we want it to be true, so therefore let's say that it happened, and they write a convincing account, and therefore they go, there you go, it's true. Well, they don't get much from it. As sort of history progresses, all of the Jesus' followers... either die or they're sent to prison for having believed in the resurrection. So they don't get much out of it. They don't get, you know, anything very nice out of it. In fact, they get a really raw deal. They get a really horrible time. And surely one of them, or some of them, would have said, oh, hang on, no, this is a bit much. We made it all up. But none of them do. They're all willing to die for the fact that Jesus rose to life again. But let me give you two other bits of evidence that what we've got written down is not made up. First is this. There are a whole load of names in the account. And scholars will say that the fact that you've got the names in the account... So, for instance, have a look down. You've got verse 10 of chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 10. That's it. You need your Bibles. Sorry, I should have warned you. Luke sort of breaks the narrative. He breaks the story to give you names. Why does he do that? So I'll start at verse 9. So Luke chapter 24, verse 9, page 1061, says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who were with them, who told this to the apostles. Why do they name them? And scholars will say, well, they name them because this is saying this is an eyewitness account. This is the account from those women. And furthermore, if you want to check out whether it's true, if you'd been alive in those days, you could have gone to those women and said, did it really happen? Did it happen the way that they said? And you could check it out, which is what Luke claims to have done. So the fact that you've got the names in there, scholars will say, this is saying this is historical and they're giving you evidence. by giving you the names, that this really happened. The other thing, so first is the names. Second is the fact that they're all women who went at the beginning. Now, you and I, we look at that and we go, that doesn't bother us. But back then, the testimony of women wasn't counted. Women weren't considered significant when it came to corroborating evidence. It's good that times have changed. But back then, they wouldn't have been. So if you were making it up, you wouldn't have included the fact that it was women who saw Jesus first. That's shooting yourself in the foot. It would have made it men who would have seen the risen Jesus first, or who would have gone to the tomb. It would be like, if you're choosing the women, it's like choosing really unreliable people. It's not, but they would have thought of it like that. So the fact that it's the women who are the first people there, you wouldn't do that if you were making it up. You go, well, okay, maybe that's a clever way of making it up. But no, you really wouldn't, because women weren't counted as being reliable. So there's a couple of bits of evidence. But the other things are, you've got the fact that the church has grown, the fact that people's lives are changed by this. You've got the fact that the disciples were willing to die for what they believed, that they were prepared to go to death. So they didn't make it up. The evidence there is they didn't make this up. Jesus really was seen. And it's interesting in the book of Acts, as you go there, when Peter and others are addressing the crowds, they're not having to convince people that Jesus rose from the dead. It seems like everyone in Jerusalem just sort of knew. They're not having to convince people. They're just going, on the basis of that, therefore, this is what you've got to do. So the evidence is Jesus really, really rose from the dead. He actually did it. And that is great news. Let's just have up on the screen. We have 1 Corinthians 15. Thank you. Next slide. Verse 1, it says this. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. You see, keep that verse up. Thank you, Ash. What this is saying is, what hangs on the resurrection is this. If we trust in the resurrection, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is Lord, that he is King now, we are saved for all eternity. Our sin, our rebellion against God does not count against us if we trust in Christ, if we hold firmly to the word that was preached. We are saved for all eternity. And we know that that is true because Jesus actually, historically, rose from the dead. So hold on to that truth. Celebrate that truth. If you're not yet a Christian today, I hope that this has helped you. I hope it's given you a bit more evidence to say, actually, yeah, I really need to look into this, or yes, I need to put my trust in Jesus. If you want even more, we've got some books as you leave. On the bookshelves, as you go out of those doors, there are some books called The Case for Easter. We'd love you to grab one of them. They're free. Grab one of them. They've got more about the evidence for the resurrection. Or you can grab the little tracts, which are called The Real Easter. So grab one of them. Please take it away. But don't leave this vital piece of information just as, oh, yeah, that's nice, interesting information. Because if Jesus rose from the dead, it changes everything. And it can change your eternity, because you can be saved as well and be with Jesus forever, if you put your trust in him and hold on to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that he is King and that he rules over us now. So I'm going to just lead us in a prayer. Boys and girls, if you bow your heads, and we're just going to pray, close eyes, and let's pray. And adults, we're going to pray as well. Father, thank you so much for the fact that Jesus rose to life, that he was dead and that he lives now. Thank you that he is Lord. And thank you that by holding on to these truths, by believing in Jesus, trusting in him, we can be saved for all eternity and live with him forever. Thank you, Father. Please would you help us now as we celebrate Jesus risen from the dead. Amen.